Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oh, God, I can't remember. Actually, yes, I was going to say I can't remember the last time I had the shits, but it was yesterday.
Oh, Jen.
I don't know if you've ever had this where you've got that sort of thing is happening and it, you know, it only ever happens when someone's in the house that doesn't live there. So we had a chap around the house doing some electrical stuff.
Oh, no.
And Chloe's knocking on the door going, I've got to get in. And I was like, you absolutely can't. You have to leave me you have to leave me alone.
Full stop. I thought you were just going to say, you have to leave me.
It was an offence, actually. So if Chloe had left me at that point, I think it would have been reasonable. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith. Well, we don't often start a podcast in this way, which is with a proper introduction. Normally we just start talking and we have no idea when Alex is going to press record. But today is a different day because today, this particular episode is our 100th episode of Women Talking Bollocks.
Yay!
In the background, you can hear this insane cheering. Oh, was it? Okay, fine. And because it's a very special episode, we have a very, very special guest with us.
Is that me?
For this episode. Yeah, no, hang on. I've got to introduce you. It's okay. And I would love to introduce to you the fantastic, the hilarious, the wonderful human being that I adore. It is Jessica Foster Q!
Yay!
The nicest introduction I've ever had. I thought maybe they're bringing on someone else.
It's for you, babes. It's for you.
Oh, thanks.
We couldn't get anyone else to agree, Jess. You're the only one.
Maureen, not now. Jess, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me, more like.
Isn't it great that we can just do this from our houses?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm on the sofa.
I can see you've got a pot plant behind you, Jess,
yeah.
There.
Pot plant.
Not a pot plant, everyone. Not a pot plant.
No, not a pot plant. Just plant. A candle, Maureen.
Jess won't get that.
No, reference. Jess, it doesn't matter. We can't go into it. Foster Q, thanks for coming on. And it's lovely to have you here. Should we do like an interview thing? I've got questions.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. What are we interviewing? You start. We'll go from there.
Well, I wanted to talk about, firstly, let's talk about your podcast, Jess, which I've guested on twice now and also once for a Patreon. That's how. I'm practically a regular on Hoovering.
You might have been on it more than anyone else in that case. Oops. I love it.
For any of our WTB listeners who haven't listened to Hoovering, can you tell us a little bit about it?
So thanks. Yeah, okay. It's called Hoovering. It's about eating.
I love it.
Basically, yeah. There's enough noise in the world about food. And I think I've been doing it for 5 years. What a nerd. I think it's a very uncomplicated thing to say, I like food. I love food. Yeah. Everyone's always going, oh, I love food. But what happened is about 5 years ago, I started reframing my relationship with eating. And I overheard, I'm going to say it here, my mum saying in a not very kind way about someone else, well, they don't love food. They just love eating. And I thought, oof, That's what? A fascinating way of throwing shade. And I thought, how interesting that it's still quite transgressive and as a feminist to say, no, I like eating. It's not about the food. The food can be disgusting at times. I want to put loads of food in me. I love eating. Big, hungry bitch. And I was just sort of coming to terms with that, being like, oh, proud is a bit strong, but like neutral about going, yeah, I'm really fucking hungry. I ate loads. And actually, I thought, yeah, I think there's room in the world for conversations about eating, not food eating. So it's a podcast where that I eat with whoever's on the podcast with me and we get into the topic of eating. And it's been all sorts of conversations on there, sometimes quite serious stuff about how different ways that people eat can impact the environment or politics of the food system in this country. Or I've got into really dark stuff. Why am I selling all the miserable stuff? I've got into really dark stuff about people's histories with disordered eating and it's followed a real journey for veganism, plant-based meat or not. Like I've got into everything with everyone, and I've put everything on there, from a big old fallout recently with the lady that turned out to be a conspiracy theorist who thought I knew we'd be having a spicy conversation because she's written a book called The Great Plant-Based Con and she doesn't believe in plant-based eating as being healthy or good for the planet. So I knew we were going to have a debate, but also within minutes she'd said that she believes the keto diet can cure autism. And I was like, oh God, oh no, oh. And long story short, she's asked to have that episode taken down. But if you were quick enough to download it in the first week, and everything from that, from like some of the funniest conversations. I did one with Rosie Jones where she took, I think, 25 minutes just to describe how she eats a Cadbury's cream egg.
Yeah.
And it involves nudity. Like there's a really intense, quite erotic ritual. Anyway, yeah. Hopefully that gives you an overview.
I've listened to loads of it. In fact, it accompanied me on many a car journey and Edinburgh Festival. You know, when you want some company with friends, I'll listen to Jess talking to someone I know. Usually someone I know, Jess, actually, because I find it quite comforting. And then they talk about food and what they like eating. And it's quite joyful, actually. I mean, I know there's serious topics to be covered in it. And that's important because I think there's so much, particularly for women, I think so much dysfunction or so much shame around eating, which I find very upsetting. But just there is so much joy to be had. And I also love looking at the photos on Instagram of all the lovely food that you are eating.
Oh, the food is so good. Yeah, looking.
Sometimes I look at it, I'm like, who the fuck is cooking that? And sometimes sometimes you go to restaurants.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, these bastards can really cook.
Yeah, some of these bastards can really cook. I used to cook a lot on it. I feel bad for the people that don't, like, so, I mean, in the last batch I did, I went to a really fancy place called Flesh and Buns, which sounds gross, but is amazing, in Covent Garden, with Celia Abbey. But just a few episodes before that, I had Luke McQueen, and for him, I made him take a tablet called a Miracle Berry that gave him the diabolical shits and made chicken taste of grapes.
Okay, I just really feel like you need to go back and rewind. What the hell is this tablet and why would anyone take it?
Yeah.
What is it?
I bought it off the dark web. Okay. I don't think it's really made of berries. I just heard about it, called a Miracle Berry, and it distorts your taste perception.
Why would you want that to happen?
Well, he went big. So it does things like I chomped into a lemon and a lime.
Yeah.
And it tasted it tasted like sherbet. It was amazing. So you do it just as an experiment.
Right.
What Luke did was eat an entire lemon, rind and all, an entire lime, rind and all, half a pot of lime pickle. Bish, bash, bosh. Luke's not very well till the next day.
It's not science, mate.
No, that's not what you want from your podcast guests, is them to ring you at 10 a.m. the next day and say, tell me I'm not the only one who's just shat their pants.
Right, no. I mean, if you've eaten a whole lemon and a lime and some pickle together, I'm surprised he didn't shit his pants immediately. Yeah. Or at least throw it up. That's a classic McQueen move, though. Well done, Luke. I hope you don't mind that we've talked about that on the podcast. But I think it's fair game, isn't it?
He'll be proud.
I mean, I'd love it, Jess, if you ever had Maureen Younger on your podcast, Hoovering, just to see.
I want Maureen Younger on.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Just to see what Maureen makes for you. In fact, I would like to be there if that's happening. I won't speak. You won't.
Would you eat it?
Oh, God, no, I'm not going to. I want to watch Jess try to eat it.
Maureen, Jess, should we do that in the next batch? Are you free in June?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
Jen's face.
What?
Jen's like, what am I in for here then? Has Maureen got some sort of bad cooking
When you
reputation?
Talk about the ritual of eating, I'm very excited for you to see Maureen's ritual of eating a jacket potato. That is...
Jacket potato.
Okay.
Jen, if ever me and Jen fall out, it'll be because she's seen me eat one too many jacket potatoes. Because I basically, I don't use a fork and knife, I use my hands, and I just suck out the potato.
Right. Oh, yeah. God.
It tastes better that way. It does taste
no, it doesn't, actually. It really doesn't.
It does.
I mean, and if it does, I don't care. There's no excuse for that. I actually just want to see if Maureen can cook you anything. It doesn't have to be a jacket potato, because every time Maureen's tried to cook me something, I've had to stop her and go, no.
And she takes over.
You can't do whatever this is. Okay. Whatever this is has to stop.
I tried to make a chicken stir fry and Jen was like, no.
Oh, dear. How can you get that wrong?
Well, I don't know if you've ever had a chicken stir fry with, like, it's basically chop, you know, like a bag full of stir fry.
Yeah.
Cooked. Put that in first. Then add...
I did not put that in first.
No, because I didn't stop you. You were going to put it in first.
No, I did not. I was not.
What were you going to put in first, Maureen?
The chicken.
Okay, so this was what Maureen was going to do. She was going to put chicken in and then a bag full of salad.
Yeah. It wasn't salad, it was stir fry.
Well, whatever. And what else were you going to put with it, Maureen, to make it taste like a stir fry?
A bit of sauce.
What? What sauce? You didn't have any sauce. Do you remember? You didn't.
I did have sauce.
No, do you remember? I physically had to leave the house to buy the sauce.
Anyway, moving on.
So, actually, I do remember what Maureen had. Maureen had gone out and bought dark soy sauce.
Soy sauce. I remember
dark
this.
Dark soy sauce. Yes.
Yeah, dark soy sauce on grated cabbage and some raw chicken. Anyway, look, it's fine. What I'm saying is good luck, and I'd love to hear it on the podcast.
I can't wait.
What I'm saying is it's not her bag. Is it, Maureen?
No, not really.
No, good.
I can cook mince.
Oh, yeah, if you want it boiled. Mince. Just.
I do not boil mince. It's such a
lie. What, Maureen? I've literally heard how you cook mince, and you've only recently stopped boiling
it. Oh, you should have seen my Niçoise salad, Jess.
Oh, I'm currently still in the throes of a food poisoning, and I don't know if I can.
This is true.
Even I couldn't eat it. I had to put it in the bin.
It had egg noodles in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Egg noodles, broccoli, and what was it?
What?
Salmon. And
what?
Red wine, vinegar, and yogurt. Oh. It was disgusting.
Oh, God, Maureen. Shit.
None of which was on the ingredients. Shit.
If you see the picture in the book, because Jen got me these Jamie books, you see the picture and then you see the picture of mine.
Yeah, because you've used completely different ingredients.
Yeah, I did, really.
Yeah, so I gave her a book and I said, this is a great book because what it is it's like it's recipes and they're like five or seven ingredients.
Five ingredients.
It's just a simple five ingredient. I thought, Maureen can't fuck that up because it's five ingredients.
Yeah, she'll use five other ingredients.
No, she used like eight other ingredients. Eight other ingredients. Didn't use one of the five that was included on the ingredients. Just went, I think I can do something better out of egg noodles, yogurt, red wine, vinegar, and some salmon. And I was like,
it was awful.
Of course it was awful, because the Niçoise salad has tuna and potato and green beans and it's just other fucking ingredients, Maureen. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's not dwell on that anymore, because I know Jess has got a dicky tummy. Alison, how's your week been, my love? Talk to me.
Well, okay, if we can talk food for one more second here. I tried, so I'm air fryer mad. I've entered the air fryer world.
Oh, yeah.
I just love
thumb
it.
Up.
I just love the air fryer. And I thought, you know, I'm up north. I am basically married to a Mancunian man. So I thought I saw a recipe for Yorkshire puddings done in the air fryer. Great, right? Air fryer. You guys, Yorkshire puddings are harder than you would think to make. I made doorstops is what I made. I made floured doorstops, if anyone would like them. They were so bad. And Daddy eats like any shit that I make. But I saw him cut into it. I just kind of look at it. And I just saw him like put it to the side. And then just continue eating. And I was like, oh, I know, babe. And then I was like, they're not that bad. And I cut into it and I was like, fail, ultimate fail, guys. Yorkshire puddings are hard. Everyone's like, oh, they're so easy. I'm sticking to buying them frozen.
It's easier, much easier.
I think maybe Yorkshire puddings are better in the oven than in an air fryer. I don't know.
Yeah,
they can be quite tricky to make, but...
Yeah. Maybe they've been too long.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for them to puff up. They weren't really puffing up for a while. It was a fail. Anyway, but I'm still an air fryer man. I've done a ham in the air fryer. I've done a roast in the air fryer. I've done a full chicken in the air. Oh my God, I love my air fryer so much. Burgers? I did burgers the other day in the air fryer. Veggie burgers? Delicious in the air fryer.
I roasted beetroot in the air fryer recently. And Ooh. You know how long it takes to do in an oven? It just seems to take forever. And I just whacked it in there. It was like 20 minutes, ba-boom. My beetroot was ready because I was doing this beetroot and feta salad thing. And I just whacked that in there. And I've got to tell you, kids, wow, there's a little top tip for you there.
Because if you were going to roast them in an oven, you'd pop tin foil around them. So did you just put them in skin on or did you skin them before you put them in?
I skinned them, but I marinated them. So I had it lightly in some oil and some herbs, and I put it at quite a low temperature, which I've noticed is important in an air fryer.
Otherwise, it dehydrates it.
Yeah. Well, the air fryer goes 250, and you're like, who's cooking anything at 250? So I'm like, no, you've got to whack it down to 150, and baboom, you're going to get yourself some nice beetroot. And it wasn't dry. In fact, it was. I'm going to say, look, I don't want to go on about it, but it was brilliant.
It's moist.
She's going to say moist. I could see that.
I knew you'd have moist. Nobody wanted that. I've told you about saying that word on a it's very triggering for a lot of people if they're listening to this in their ears to hear you say that word, Maureen.
Moist.
Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Dear God.
Well, I'm going to talk about my week.
I was going to come to you, Maureen. I know she's been desperate. She's like, when's it about me?
When is it about me, which obviously the main thing. I've published my latest
book. Oh, wow, it's
amazing.
It's just in time for Christmas, Maureen.
Yeah. I was meant to publish it about 2 years ago, last Christmas, in time for Christmas and never got round to it. But yeah, it came out this week. This is obviously a pre-sale copy. Prisons of My Life. There is a story there that features two comics, and one of them is a beige lesbian with a Spanish mother.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know where I got that character from.
No idea. No idea who that could be.
But yes, it includes the stories from The Void. I've included them in there because I'm going to take The Void off. But yes, I published that today, so that's out on Amazon today. You can get hardback or Kindle.
Prisms of My Life by Maureen Younger. You can buy it on Amazon.co.uk. Is it Amazon.com? Is it international?
Anywhere,
at Amazon?
Any international.
Get yourselves a copy.
Get in.
And actually, maybe the first person to email us at womentalkingbollocks@gmail.com and who wants a copy, maybe Maureen will send you a signed copy. You'll have to pay for it, obviously, because Maureen doesn't do anything for free.
I was going to say Maureen's face is not into the idea of just giving a book away. Hmm. Maureen's like, hang on a second. We didn't talk about
this. No, but I honestly, I was meant to publish this about 2 years ago, never got round to it. And then eventually I was like, oh, Maureen, just blinking. Because I sent it off, thought I'd proofread it. Then I got a proof copy. And I was like, there's so many typos. And it also includes the three first chapters of my novel, which I haven't published yet. So the three first chapters are in this of my novel, Fictional Lives. And if people like it, then I might publish the actual novel.
Wow, Maureen, you've been busy. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Well done.
Amazing.
Like we said, you can get that on Amazon. Just buy yourself a copy today. Don't delay. Well done, Maureen.
I've got nothing.
I haven't got anything to tell. There's no books coming out. So I've got a book. So if you want to get that. People like to tell me that they can't get hold of my book. And I'm sorry about that. You don't live in the right country. what I've learned about this book, because I didn't take any notice of the thing that I signed when I got my book published, is that my book is not available in most places. So,
is it not?
If you live in the UK, you can get a copy. So, but I don't think you can get it in most places. Anyway,
is it not on Amazon?
It is. It is on Amazon. But people keep telling me they can't get it on Amazon. But it is. You can buy it on Amazon. Yes, and on Audible and all. Anyway, I don't know why I'm going on about that. That was published 3 years ago. 4 years ago. Let that go. Anyway, we've all had weeks. Alison, you've had a week making Yorkshire puddings.
Yorkshire puddings fail.
Maureen, you've had a week publishing a fucking book. Jesus Christ. And Jess, You've had a week with a bad tummy. But now let's not dwell any longer. We've got to go back to, we're going to go back to Maureen Younger and maybe even Jess Fostercue, because it's time to find out what the Be More Maureen moment is this week.
I messaged Jen, I have just put olive oil in my eyes. I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Well, this week, in fact, it's not Be More Maureen. This week is going to be Be More Jess. So, Jess, can you outdo me in a Be More Jess moment?
Yeah, I can. I hope. Right. What happened is, it was a while ago, so that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had a memory recently of when my son was a baby. He would have very regular eye infections. A health visitor said to me, and I don't know if you... If you don't know what a health visitor is, it's someone with perhaps 1% of the qualifications of a medic whose job is to come round and often make you feel really confused and shit about how you're doing as a brand new parent. Some are brilliant, hashtag not all health visitors. I had a health visitor say, that looks like an eye infection. And I said, oh, should I take him? I did call him. Should I take him to the doctor? She said, no. Just put breast milk in it. If you're breastfeeding him, put breast milk in it. And I was like, all right.
I heard that as well.
She said it's full of antibodies. It's antibacterial. It's kind of this miracle liquid. And I was like, okay. It didn't get better. You could argue it got worse. And I did take him probably a week or two still further on from this to a GP. You know what? I don't know. If you don't know what it's like getting a GP's appointment in London, it's sort of harder than it is to get into the Olympics and get a gold. I managed to get him an appointment and I saw a GP. They said, yeah, the GP said, put breast milk in there. And I was like, okay, that's funny. That's what the health visitor said. And I have been doing that. And they went, you haven't been doing it enough.
What?
So I then spent the next week putting, squirting... directly, sometimes sort of upwards of a tablespoon a time, drowning.
You were waterboarding your tiny, son.
Yeah, in the eye with a thick, mucal, viscous, sugary tit milk. He would cry and cry and cry, and I wouldn't wash it because... I'd be like, no, his eyes were gunked up with the infection and now with the milk. The infection got worse and worse and worse. He had almost entirely red. There was no whites left in his eyes. And I thought, I just can't keep doing this. He can't see. He's sad. I'm sad. I went back and got another GP's appointment. And this GP said, right, this child's eye infection is really bad. I'm going to have to give you antibiotics. Her words were, what the hell have you been doing? And I said, I have been putting breast milk in his eyes. A doctor, and she said, what? I said, I've been putting my breast milk in his eyes. And she said, why? And I said, a doctor told me. And she went, when did you go to the doctors? In the Roman times. She didn't believe me that I'd been advised to do it. And I said, yeah. And it, honestly, it was like the walls came tumbling down as I realised the idiocy of it. She went, would you like your mum, say you had a sore eye, would you like your mum to squirt her bodily fluids into your eyes? And I was like, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry. And basically, she called me out on it. She genuinely didn't believe me that another doctor had told me to do it.
Oh, that's just not your fault, though, Jess.
I mean, there were various points when I was sort of squeezing knocker into the face, this tiny little face, just squeezing, squirting jets into his already sore, actual fucking eyeball that I did think, surely not. Surely not in the modern age.
It's so hard, though, when you've got a new baby and you don't really know what you're doing And sometimes you've got like really strong instincts and then you suppress them because somebody says something. You're like, oh, well, you've been doing this for longer. You're a medical professional. You must know.
Yeah.
And so you ignore all of the signals that go, this is nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm squeezing tit juice into my infected child's eye.
Two medical people in a row, even if the first one, you know, we can debate, you know, but two in a row were like, in the eye. I'm with you, Jess. Sometimes I got to admit, some of the things I hear in this country, like when I came over here, I swear to God, sometimes I feel like the doctor's just going to be like, one good leeching. You just need a good leeching and you'll be fine, Allison. Like, sometimes I'm like, I know you don't want to give away antibiotics, but come on.
Yeah.
Oh, Jess, that's not your fault. You did nothing wrong in that instance.
Oh, that's a kind response. I think I milkboarded my son in the eyes.
Well, you did, but you were told
you did.
A professional.
You absolutely milkboarded your son in the eyes, but you know.
I feel like for clarity, he's like 7 now and he can see fine. I should just clear that up.
He's got 20/20 vision. There's no long-term damage was inflicted by you.
Not that we've noticed so far.
Due to the boob milk, not that we've noticed. I mean, maybe sort of psychologically damaged, but physically fine.
He does have a tendency to throw milk in his face now as opposed to drink it. But he's getting past that, right?
He's got a thing about boobs, but other than that, he's just the average guy.
Don't put them near my face. Yeah. Don't put them near my face.
Jess, comparatively to the many Beam or More In moments that we've had on this show where we are often bewildered and befuddled and just utterly have no idea what the fuck's going on, this actually makes sense to me. You did what any parent would have done, which is try to do the best thing for your son, even though all of your instincts were going, this is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've all been there. And I agree with you about the health professionals. We got so much crazy advice about stuff. So much conflicting advice. Why have you put your son in so many things? When they're babies, they get very hot. You need to give them space to breathe. Why has your child not got 16 blankets on them? Do you want your child to die of hypothermia? Why is your son lying on its front? Have you heard of cotton? Why is your son on its back? Can you not see he's struggling to breathe? What? It's like, oh my God, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing and you people are not helping. Yeah. In the end, we just had to shut them all down and go, I think we'll take it from here, guys. Because I don't think you know either. It's incredible, isn't it, that babies have been around for a while, haven't they?
They're pretty strong.
They keep turning up as well, don't they? Have you noticed that? There's loads of them. I always thought once I had my kids, I'd be like, oh, I guess that's it for babies. But they keep coming. Other people keep having them. And it's incredible how many books there are about babies and how to look after babies and what to do with babies. And literally none of them agree with the other one.
No.
It's like nobody seems to have any idea how to look after a baby.
Maureen, are you grateful you don't have that stress? I'm kind of grateful I don't have that stress.
Yeah, I don't think I'd been a very good mother. Do you know what I mean?
Given the way you look after your pot plants, Maureen, try to set them on fire.
No, and also if the recipe said put breast milk in its eye, I can imagine there'd be some goat's milk and maybe an egg noodle going in Maureen's baby's eye.
No, there wouldn't be goat's milk in my house. But, I mean, no, I just think I'd know. I remember once I was looking after a friend's baby and it crawled into the kitchen. So I picked it up. I thought it shouldn't get in the kitchen. So I picked it up, stood it up, didn't realise if it can't walk, it also can't stand, and stood it up and just let go. And it fell down straight away.
Right, okay. Well,
and hit his eye and started crying. And the parents came down. I went, oh, he hit himself. I didn't say it from the great height. But I was like, oh, yeah.
Where did you stand this baby up? Not on the counter, I hope.
On the floor.
Okay, just thank God. Because
he couldn't stand.
No, that's probably why he was crawling, Maureen.
Yeah, I can't realise that later.
There are signs there. We don't expect you to pick up on those signs, Maureen. Absolutely classic that we managed to squeeze a Beam or More In moment at the end of that.
I was going
to
say, she still did it. That's
still
amazing,
Still managed to get
Maureen.
One in. Yeah. Absolutely. Again,
sometimes she worries she's going to run out of them. And then she's like, oh, by the way, I did this thing. Or they happen live. I love it when they happen live.
Happen live. Or I don't realise it's a Beam or More In moment. And then Jen and Alison look at me and go, with the candle.
We pointed out
thing. They were like, that is a Beam or More In moment.
Beautiful.
We delicately explained to her, No, we don't. Jen yells and I.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Great. Right. I'm glad we've covered that. Jess, thank you very much for your Be More Jess moment, which actually, as I expected it would, made some sense. Again, Maureen, fuck knows what you're talking about.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Next up, it's time to turn to Alison June Smith because it's someone's got a problem and only Alison can help. It's time to ask Alison.
Oh, that was a good one.
Sorry, I don't know what happened to my voice.
That was all right.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it. Hey, thank you so much. As always, thank you to everyone who writes in with a problem. Well, this week we got Jess. So I asked Jess if she had an idea of a problem, and she does. And I'm excited. This one. Okay, so Jess's problem. Another mom on my son's school run hates me, and my son is her son's good friend.
Oh,
all right. There we
what?
Go. This is
Wait.
Good.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you know this?
How do I know she hates me?
Yeah.
That is a good question, because that was one of my first things is, can we figure out why you aren't a fan of the parents? If you can figure this out, this can help us to figure out how you're going to deal with this. How do you know she doesn't like you?
Where do I begin?
Okay. We're going to call her Rebecca.
She's not listening to this. Don't worry.
WhatsApp group behavior we can start with.
Oh, yeah.
First ever interaction with her. I put in the WhatsApp group for the class my son's in. So I bought his school uniform, like a dweeb, I bought his school uniform in July, right, before he began school. And by September, he'd outgrown it, arsewise. He's my son. So in September, I put in this WhatsApp group, would anybody like 5 pairs of age 5 school shorts for free, of course? My son's outgrown them. She replies, less than a second after that has sent, just saying, no.
What? Oh, my God.
I've got a better one from in the last month.
Oh, my God. Just don't reply.
The horribler she is to me, the harder I try. The other day, my son was putting his scooter away badly in the scooter shed at school. And I said, oh, gosh, sorry, Rebecca, that's going to be in your way, isn't it? She went, yeah, it is. Just this week. This happens all the time. I go, morning. And she just looks at me like I just stood there and farted. She looks at me like, I think she knows what I do for a job and I think she finds it fucking ridiculous and embarrassing. The tangiest one in person was once I said, God, I love that cardigan, Rebecca. And she just went,
What the fuck is this woman's problem?
And walked off.
Alison, I can't respond to this because it's going to be bad.
Yeah, okay. Does she... have you seen her interact with other humans?
Yeah, it's horrid.
Okay.
But it's not as site-specific horrid as it is with me.
Okay, but in general, she is...
She sounds unwell.
She is unpleasant. I'm going to say, Jess, deep down inside...
she's jealous,
probably,
man.
Yeah, jealous was the number one thing that I thought of right away. She is like... Yeah. I know.
She's got great cardies.
But this is the thing, because you... You got stuff going on and she doesn't like it. She doesn't like it. So, okay. So we've established, though, that she is just a difficult person in general, right? It's not like she's
like... I don't think she's a social wizard.
Yeah. And then turning around and like, you know, chatting it up with other people. Also, I want to praise you, Jess, in your when they go low, you go high behavior. That is how I live my life, right? I always like to try and kill with kindness. I learned that when I worked at a Walmart when I was young. The meaner people were, the nicer you are, they can't come at you, right? You just... So well done you for handling it that way.
Okay.
I applaud you. Well done.
I do intend to shame her thoroughly in future stand-up.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And you can.
Is that ethical?
Who cares?
It's fair enough.
Yeah, what I want to tell you
it's
is...
It's one of the perks of the job.
This is a tiny period of life, okay? This tiny little period, this will pass. And actually, I was going to say, I think it's actually ideal that you are not forming a close relationship with some of your child's friends' parents. Because you know what? They're going to be gone. Like, the kid's young right now. They're not going to be friends for very... So don't you worry about it, right? This is just like, this is a quick time. It's going to pass. In years to come, you'll be like, God, remember when I had to deal with that pair? You will not have to anymore, right?
You wait.
And if you try to force a friendship with the kids right now, they're going to grow up. They're not going to like each other. What if you did bond with this girl and then the kids don't? Then you got to deal with all that shit. So really, Jess, this is a blessing in disguise that this woman is giving you nothing, right?
Okay.
I see it as a blessing in disguise. Now, trust your gut as well. You don't like this chick. And I mean, you know, you don't want your kid really hanging out too much. But right now, you got to foster a nice relationship while they're getting along.
Mm.
Okay? So there's no one-on-ones, it sounds like, which is great. If there is a one-on-one, if ever there's the point, what I was going to say is, could you phrase it like, instead of having to be with them, you could always say, oh, hey, you know, your child, if you ever want to drop them off at ours... they play so well together. By all means, feel free if you want to go do some stuff. Do you know what I mean? If you frame it like you're doing her a favor.
Oh, I'm so nervous. It's a good idea, but I'm so nervous I will end up... We are at the point now where my son hangs out one-to-one with every single other friend. Because
except for this
they've
one, yeah.
all got parents I would happily have a tea or a beer with. All of them. And he now... is sentient enough at 7 to have noticed and listened to me repeatedly slagging her off and has now will go, but I can't ever have a play date with beep, can I? Because his mummy is horrid. And you go...
Another piece of advice I was going to say is don't slag off the mom. Don't touch up the mom. It's done.
Too
All
late.
Right. Yeah. I think you got to give some talks about sometimes in life there are people we don't get along with, but
yes.
you know, we got to learn to deal with them, you know, and just put that in there.
Also, you don't know if your son has told the friend what you've said about his mum.
No, I've got him on a hard ban on that. Not that he can be trusted, but I have explained that that's how you make someone really sad if you're rude about their mum and they'd be like that is like a no-go zone. I haven't, I mean, in real life, I haven't been really rude about her. I've just said, I don't think she likes me very much. And we can't be friends with everybody. And I don't want to be in a situation where it's just us hanging out. Whereas you've got all these other people you could.
Yeah.
They're not invite. They're not inviting, by the way. They're not inviting me around either. I'm not having to decline hundreds of invitations. Oh, dear.
Well, look, by offering that, I think that's a real nice olive branch, right? Mm. If you're like, okay. Groups, look, always do group activities maybe. If you get stuck, right, like you always want to be around other people, other parents, yeah. other kids. So if you have to be with her, if there's like a, mom, I really want to play. All right, well, let's invite Brian and his mom as well. Like always bring in some other people to the mix yes. so you're never one-on-one with this person. All right. Creating a buffer is very important. Very important.
Buffer. I'm going to write that down.
Always have a buffer. So if it's other kids, it's other parents, but a buffer. Activities, right? So again, if you get stuck one-on-one, if you are somewhere with them, then you could. But being stuck in a house, that is the worst thing I could fucking imagine with someone that you hate. So if, you know what I mean? If the children, yeah. they're getting together, let's go to a movie. Let's go to the museum. Let's do something. So at least yeah. there's activities that is distracting. Again, it's all about buffers. Also, again, I just want to remind you, this is a very small period of time. You are not going to be stuck in this for very long. And in fact, I grew up with my house being the place where kids could come. But my parents never formed a single friendship with any of my parents' friends. So,
no, but nobody did in the old days.
Not one.
Nobody was expected. Like, my mum would actively say, I'm just dropping you off and your father's picking you up because I don't want to talk to that woman. And I'd go, okay, yeah. that's fine. You know, it was a completely, nobody was hanging out. Nobody was having drinks. And in fact, people had birthday parties so you could drop your kid off and then pick them up.
Yeah.
Nobody expected parents to hang around and watch your kid watch a fucking magician in the corner while you munched on a fucking carrot stick trying to find some will to live. The small talk that goes with becoming a parent is just so absolutely, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. And it's unnecessary. And we should all as parents agree that we don't need to talk to each other.
Do you remember, Jen, there was like a kids thing and Jen pretended to talk to me for like an hour just on the grass, so she didn't have to talk to the other parents. We just sat and chatted for an hour because you didn't want to mix with them. Do you remember?
Yeah, but I think you need to make it clear that you weren't physically there. I phoned you.
No, I was there.
Maureen,
no, I wasn't. I was
you
on the
weren't
phone.
There.
Yeah.
You were on the phone.
But yeah, she was adamant. She was ready to argue that
It was a FaceTime call, to be fair. But no, you weren't physically there.
But she was, that's true, because she didn't want to talk to the other parents, so she talked to me for an hour instead.
So is that potentially another solution for me, is that I could FaceTime Maureen?
Yes. Always.
Easily.
Also, Maureen's really happy to just, like, chat about anything. So you can
8:50
just, like,
to 9:10 most days is at its worst, Maureen, if you're up and ready.
50 to 9:10. Those 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You got to give yourself some mantras before you get to that, right? I want you to start mantraing before you go, it is only 20 minutes. It is only 20 minutes. It is only 20 minutes. This too shall pass. He will grow up soon. They will not be friends later in life. The other thing you could do is reverse psychology on your child right now. Start talking a lot about, hey, do you want to hang out with so-and-so? Do you want to hang out with so-and-so? Maybe your kid will be like, no, I don't want to hang out with him. So maybe a little reverse psychology might help a little bit.
I mean, I personally wouldn't bother talking to her. She doesn't want to talk to me. I'd be like, fuck her. Do you know what I mean? Because I think that type of person wants you to make an effort. They want that.
I'm with Maureen. I would handbrake turn 180, go full the other way. And the next time she talks to you, just don't even get eye contact with her.
And just make these noises.
That's the danger, is I am going to snap. I'm a snapper.
Before you snap.
And there's going to come a snapping point. She does occasionally approach me to talk, and it's always to tell me something. She's the child that my son is friends with, she's relatively indifferent about. She's got an older child who she's obsessed with. And every now and again, she'll approach me. There'll be no hello, no good morning, and just start listing the achievements of the fantastic older child. That's her, like, that's the chat she's got. And I would love, have I permission? Am I here being advised? Next time that happens and I start hearing about how fabulous Violet is in her swimming gala, to just go, ah!
Yeah, totally.
And walk off.
Totally.
In my own best cardi.
I mean, like, when Jen had her kids and she tried to show me photos for the first time, she said, do you want to see the pictures of the photos of the kids? I went, do I have to? And she went, yeah. You're my best friend, Maureen, so I had to look at the photos.
I mean, I don't.
Do I have to?
I don't think you have to be nice to this woman. That's my feeling.
Just remember, it's going to pass. This is a fleeting time in life. Before you know it, you'll be like, school runs. I wish those were only my fucking problem now. So don't you worry, Jess. Like, it's going to get better and worse.
It's going to get worse. Alison, thank you very much for your advice.
Thank you
I think any parent that's listening to this will hard relate to the fucking hellscape that is drop off and pick up when you have children. If you're lucky enough to have really good friends, as I know our mutual friend Katie Mulgrew does, because I met them all recently, she has a, as she would always, as you'd expect Katie to have like 68 friends wherever she goes.
Yeah.
But for most of us, it's turning up, going head down, don't get eye contact. Also, if there are any mums listening, of course, I don't mean you. You're lovely. Great. Thank you very much, Alison June Smith, for your advices. Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double
cream. What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. It's time now to have a little chat about what we've been watching with our eyes and our noses.
Well, I've been watching Crime. I've watched the whole series on ITVX. Totally recommend it. It's a police series written by the guy did, Welsh, the Scottish guy, Irvin Welsh. And it's set in Edinburgh and it stars Doug Gray Scott, who won an International Emmy for his portrayal. And it is really, I thought it was really, really good. I mean, Doug Gray Scott brings it up a level. His acting is so impressive. He's brilliant in this role. So he plays a detective and there's a child that's gone missing and he's looking for the child. And he is too basically involved. He takes it really personally. He hasn't got that professional distance and he gets so involved and it which is great for his humanity, but not great for a policeman. And it's about basically he's breaking down, trying to find the murderer of these children. And he's brilliant in it. I really, really enjoyed it. It's a much more, because of his acting, it's a much more deeper crime series than most crime series are. They're going to do a second series now as well.
Oh, wow.
And I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, there is a thing, though, if you want to drink every time a certain character has a drink or takes drugs, you will be comatose by it.
Okay.
I mean, there is a, I won't say who the character is, but he drinks and takes drugs and you're like, how are you physically able to stand, let alone do anything else?
It's always like that in TV shows. You see people and they come home and then they pour themselves like a whiskey, don't they? And it's like
liquor.
It's like half a mug of whiskey. And I think, and then they never just sip it, do they? Because they've had a hard day. They swig this whiskey back and then they're fine.
I mean, the amount of drug taking and drink is just, and there is one plot point which is totally unbelievable, but he is really, really good. And it's Ian Welsh and Irvin Welsh. Yeah, what was that film, that really famous film, Trainspotting? He was behind Trainspotting. So, you know, he is a great character and he does deserve his Emmy. He's fantastic in it. So that's Crime and that's on ITVX. I think it's 6 parts or 5 parts series.
Is that a new series?
It's new.
It is
and
new.
It's done so well, they're going to do a second series.
Brilliant. So you get that on ITVX. Maureen, you're really good at coming up with the shows where people can watch it without spending money. And I love that about you. That's brilliant. So Crime on ITVX. Brilliant. Check
that
it out.
That's a good one for you and Chloe.
Listen, watching TV has now become a full-time job, I'm afraid. I'm just trying to catch up with all of the content. I can't do it, Maureen. It's too much. But yeah, I think you're right. Chloe would love that. Jess, what have you been watching? Anything?
I was going to do some podcasts. Is that all right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We love it.
I've been catching up with a brilliant podcast called Maintenance Phase, which is, oh God, I'm not going to remember. It's Aubrey Gordon and a man. And he has another podcast called You're Wrong About.
Okay.
And so basically what it is, it's with Maintenance Phase, it's dispelling kind of like myths around wellness and the diet industry. I've made it sound really earnest. It's so funny. But what they do is they do a series, but it's like they're investigative journalists and authors and they do deep, deep research dives. So every episode will be like this really like origin story right up to the present day of what's really going on behind all sorts. So there'll be one on like the entire history of Weight Watchers and where it's at now, where their finances are at, how successful they've ever been as a company, whether their product works. They did one on an American TV show, which I hadn't heard of, that sounds so bleak, called The Biggest Loser, which was basically a reality TV weight loss competition.
What's that?
It glorified starvation. It basically would And people died on it because they'd put people on treadmills for so long till they had, and they'd like love it if people fainted and stuff. The whole point was so they're basically, but their relationship with each other is so good. They really, it's a really great rapport, and they're both together. They're really, really, really funny and naughty. It's much more irreverent than I've made it sound. They're just, it's just common sense calling out wellness and diet crap, basically. It's really good.
It. What's that called again? The maintenance story?
Maintenance phase.
So it's Aubrey Gordon and Michael Hobbs.
Yes.
I think of that. Right. And that's available wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's free.
Great.
It's not like a pay-for podcast. And the other podcast series I listened to on a long, long drive recently, which I feel like is a must listen just for everybody's sanity, but it did make me a bit sort of like stressed out and angry, is called A Very British Cult.
Ah, yes, I've listened to it.
Have you? It's on BBC Sounds, and it's about a, well, it's about a cult that's a madly alive and kicking called Lighthouse Limited.
I think it was originally on Radio 4, was it? Or at least I heard it advertised. Maybe I heard it advertised. Maybe it was the podcast they advertised on Radio 4. And that's what got me. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't listened to all of it, actually. I've listened to the first two episodes.
Yeah, it's a mentoring scheme set up by this man called Paul Waugh to bring people in to become business mentors. But basically, it gets to the point where everybody involved in it has gotten rid of their entire family, blocked out their entire family, remortgaged, well, sold their houses, got nothing left, had to
got
go
rid
and live
of all of their
in
money.
Massive shared flats, given them all their money. And even the people who'd escaped, who were describing what had happened, the way they talk, still with a fondness and an enormous amount of fear for some of the other people involved, it is fascinating. And they're no longer able to trade as a company, but they've become now a religion.
Of course, now they get tax breaks too.
No, yeah. Are you kidding?
No. And that's the bit that was like, what?
How is that possible?
But I think people need to know about it, because what blew my mind in it and what I thought was beautifully done was it really shows how really intelligent, you know, down to earth, anyone could get conned. Anyone could get pulled in. You just need to be in a slightly transitional or low moment, and how they're selling what they sell to you is actually I can see how anybody could get drawn in. So I feel like everybody needs to listen to it. So everybody needs to hear the words Lighthouse and to steer the flip clear, because awesome. It is wow. And normally you're so used to listening to stuff about cults and it's like orange robes, sexy business. Do you know what I mean? Whereas this is like a lot more insidious, more like a, well, it's a financial con, but it is a cult. Yeah.
I love cult stuff. I love cult stuff. Two things I always learn whenever I learned about cults is, number one, as soon as you start using a certain type of language, right, when you have to use their language, that is a cult move. And then isolating you from people that are important, friends and family, if you see yourself starting to distance. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who say certain things are cults that you wouldn't even think are cults. And I'm telling you, oh, I love that, Jess. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. British cult. Yes.
They sound like an even more intense version of, I suppose, Scientology would be the most, I mean, that is considered a religion, isn't it? But it has that way of like, if you're not on board, but Scientology is fine as long as everyone's on board. But I think this cult is like, no, we've got to isolate you. We've got to keep you away. And that's the only way we're going to rinse you of every single penny that you have and all of your security. And so that then you are solely dependent on them for literally everything. Emotional support, financial support, physical support. Oh, my God. These bastards. Yeah. Thank you, Jess. That's a brilliant recommendation. I'll go back because I started it. And do you know what? I think I got distracted and I never went back, but I will go back and listen to the rest of it in a highly stressed vibe, as I always am when I listen to these things where I'm like, these bastards!
Yeah.
I watched at 1:30 in the morning when I got back from a show, one of your recommendations, Alison. I watched one of your horror recommendations, and I know that somebody else, a listener, has also went away to watch it, and I said that I would discuss it. So I watched Midsommar. The film with that we talked about with that stars Florence Pugh, and well, I don't know what I think about that film.
Yeah.
Just to recap, in case you didn't listen to the episode where Alison was talking about it, it is a couple, a young woman and a young man. He basically wants to break up with her but can't find a way to because she has suffered a huge loss in her family. And so he's now unable to break up with her. And so rather than breaking up with her, and he invites her to come on this trip to Sweden with him and his friends. And there starts the horror. Ooh. Where they go, speaking of cults, Jess, it's a very traditional pagan ritual is taking place in this very small village in Sweden, and it all goes Wicker Man. And yeah, I did like it. I didn't find it scary. It's not a scary film at all. It's kind of creepy and it's a bit unnerving. But at the end of it, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to feel about this.
Yeah, the ending does leave you kind of going,
I mean, the main takeaway is if you want to break up with someone, do.
Break up with them.
Just break up with them. Don't drag it out. That's the main takeaway, I think, from this film is don't invite them to a holiday to Sweden if you don't want them there. But it was there was something very scary about a film where it's never dark. It's always sunny. It's all the sun is always. Have you seen it, Jess?
No, but I've been to Norway over New Year when it was never light, and thought, actually, I think I can see why everybody that lives in these hemispheres is a bit weird.
Anyway, my point was about bringing this up was because our listener who contacted us to let us know that she'd watched it, and I said I'd watch it, and I had feedback, and she was like, I don't know if I liked it or not, and I have to say, I usually have quite strong opinions about things, but I didn't not like it because I watched it to the end. But when I got to the end of it, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't find it wholly satisfying, but yeah. It made me want to watch another horror film afterwards, though.
Hey, see, these are my gateway horror movies. These are my gateway movies. I slowly bring you in with some weird, yeah. Oh, Jen, I'm so glad you watched it.
It's definitely, if you're looking for a gateway, if you think to yourself, I don't really like horror, then this is a gateway horror film and do. But now it's probably a good time to ask you about a proper horror film, Alison.
Yeah. So, Jess, what I like to do is I always choose a horror film because I'm horror film obsessed. And I always like to choose one that kind of correlates with the problem a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah. So this week I started thinking about, okay, well, parents and dealing with parents. What about bad parents, judging parents? And so I want to recommend a movie that a lot of people overlooked. It's called Mom and Dad, 2017, starring Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair. Now, ooh. I have a thing with a Nicolas Cage film. I just love that Nick at this point is just doing whatever shit is thrown at him. And I really appreciate that. Just recently, he just did Renfield. Give that a go. It's very exciting. He plays Dracula. Awesome. But in this one, Nicolas Cage, Selma Blair, here's the synopsis. Okay, ready? A teenaged girl and her little brother try to survive a wild 24 hours during which a mass hysteria of unknown origins causes parents to turn violently on their own children. The whole movie is about parents all of a sudden trying to kill their kids.
Oh!
It's awesome!
Oh, God, that's dark.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah, I like it.
It's insane. And I bet you as a parent, look, I know you love your kids. All the parents out there, I know you love your children. But there are moments where you kind of... And I think this movie might give you a little catharsis. That's all I'm saying. It's a little cathartic. And it's wild watching the whole idea of, like, this weird thing coming over the parents. And honestly, it is like, go, go, go. It is a fascinating film. I think it's a great premise for a horror film. You're going to love it.
What's it called again,
Alison? Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
Is it Mom as in Mom and Dad?
M-O-M.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so that's why I couldn't find it.
I'm absolutely watching that.
It's so good. It's like, and Nicolas Cage is so good in these sort of films where he has to play these ridiculous characters with no, you know, it's, and Selma Blair's, I just loved it. To me, it was such an interesting, this is why I like horror movies, such weird concepts sometimes.
Love it.
So, yeah, this was a good one. This is a good one, everyone.
Well,
yeah.
Do you know what? It's unusual, Alison, for a recommendation of yours to be over 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's a full 75%.
Hey, gang.
Wow. Yeah. So Rotten Tomatoes agrees. And you can, I don't know where you can check it out. Just Google it. Don't ask us.
Google it. Okay. You can find it. You'll find it. Yeah. It's, you'll enjoy it, everyone.
Brilliant. Alison, thank you very much for your horror recommendation. Now it is time for us to turn back to Maureen Younger, who has her corner. It has been cultured. It's a little lumpy. Get your spoon out. Let's give it a whisk.
That is not from personal experience. Jen does not know that.
Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Right, so obviously it's the 100th episode, so I've gone for BBC Culture, basically polled book critics outside the UK to ask them what they think is the best in British literature. So this is the top 12, and I have to say I don't really agree with some of their choices. So number one is Middlemarch by George Eliot. I don't know if you've read it. I've read it. I love George Eliot, but it's a very long book. Number two and three are Virginia Woolf, right? To the Lighthouse, which I bought years ago, never read.
I've read that.
What do you think?
I read it when I was very young, and I don't think I got all of the metaphors and all of the things that were being unsaid. Do you know what I mean? So I think I'd need to read it again. I don't think I'm the person to best tell anyone what the best literature is. Do you know what I mean?
Well, number three is again by Virginia Woolf, which is Mrs. Dalloway, which I have read, and I was bored shitless.
Okay.
I found it most tedious book. I mean, I gave it away. I don't give away books. I was so bored, I gave it away. Fourth is a favourite of mine, Great Expectations by Charles Dickens, which is a fantastic, fantastic novel. If you've never read it or you've never read Dickens, it's a long book, but it's definitely worth a read. Jo Gargery is one of the loveliest characters ever created. There's some great characters in it. It's a great story. Totally recommend it. Number five is Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. You've read that, Jen, haven't you?
Yes, I've read it. I've read it about three times, I think.
Oh, really?
I think if I read it now, the misogyny would really probably get to me. But when I read it as a teenager, I was slightly obsessed with it. Don't know why. I absolutely hated Rochester, but I loved Jane Eyre. But I kind of wanted them to get together, even though I thought he was a complete tool. There was so much going on there.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, you are meant, isn't it, the brooding hero. It's kind of the Brontes, you know, Jane Austen, that kind of thing. Number six is again Charles Dickens, Bleak House, which I've never read. I'm afraid it's one of the few Dickens I've never read. Number seven, I know you don't really like this book, Jen. Wuthering Heights by Emily Brontë.
Ugh, no. God.
Number eight is another great Dickens novel, David Copperfield, which I would highly recommend. Another brilliant novel is number nine, Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, which you wrote.
Ah, yeah, I have read that. That's really good. Yes. And also that's not very long, if that's a...
No, it is quite long.
It was not... I've read it. I don't remember it being...
Yeah, it is quite long.
Is it?
And also, people didn't think she... It was published with anonymous... A lot of women did this. Published anonymous because, you know, if they put a woman's name, people wouldn't buy it. And people thought it was Shelley who'd written it. They didn't... They couldn't believe it was a 17-year-old... I mean, when you read it, it's hard to believe a 17-year-old young woman wrote it. Number 10, a great novel, Vanity Fair by Thackeray.
Never read
Number 11, we've probably all read this, Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen.
Mm. Yeah. Again, I really enjoyed that.
That is a really good... I mean, it's a great novel. There's a reason why it keeps being made into films. And number 12 is 1984 by George Orwell.
Oh, that's a cracking book. Yeah.
That is a cracking book. And I remember thinking, because I kept thinking, you know, like there's certain tropes in these kind of novels. And I kept waiting for the end to all change. And I'm getting closer to the end going, when is everything going to change around? Anyway, 1984, totally worth reading. So is Animal Farm. And there's a great cartoon version of Animal Farm, which is brilliant. Animal Farm must be one of the best satires ever written, I think. They're the books. And also, I have to say, from our book club, so feel free to join us, our book club. We're on Facebook. The three most popular choices seem to be My Sister the Serial Killer, which, Alison, you actually...
I did. I audiobooked it, and I really enjoyed it.
It's a really fantastic book.
Chloe read that. She really didn't enjoy it.
Really? Did you not?
I bought it. I've got it here. I still haven't read it, but...
I loved it. Persepolis, which is set in Iran, and The Constant Rabbit, which is a very, very funny story.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, obviously, it's not on the top 12 yet. There is Prisons of My Life. Just a question of time before that comes into the top three.
Okay, Maureen. Thank you very much.
Prisms of My Life.
Prisms of My Life by Maureen Younger, available on Amazon.com. Maureen Younger, thank you very much for your cultural corner, which actually covered a lot of ground in a very short amount of time, which we absolutely love. And now it's nearing the end of the podcast, isn't it, Alison?
Yeah, it is that time. It is that time. We've learned, we've grown, we've talked about things, we've been positive, we learned how to move past it. But what we want to do now is revel in things that get our goat. So what I want to know is, you know, Jen, normally I'm like, hey, what gets your goat? Am I throwing it to both of you? But we
want to
know.
It to Jess.
Yeah, this week, Jess, is there something that's getting your goat? What the hell's getting under your skin? Let it out.
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society.
What's getting under my skin this week is people driving too fast, especially in built-up areas, especially during the school run. And I'm of an age now where I will stand there in their face outside the car. I won't get in the car, but in their face, and I'll make a hand gesture to slow down. And it's dangerous. I live in South East London because they could get out and try a murder, but I'd be up for it. If it was fisticuffs, I'm game. I had somebody tell me to slow down and I thought, fine, I should have slowed down. And I said, I'm ever so sorry. You're right, I should have slowed down. Saying that, the person asking me to slow down wasn't a pedestrian. It was someone using a very fast electric scooter on a pavement. So as much as I did agree to slow down, I do think they also shouldn't be allowed on the pavement. And that is another, am I allowed? That's another goat. I don't want electric scooters on pavements. And actually, I don't want them on roads without a helmet. But they're too easy to kill. I feel like all I do is drive around now going, murderer, don't kill me. Murderer, don't kill me. Like that.
That is definitely one of my goats, is those bloody scooters. Often children on them. All in black.
A parent with a tiny child in front. All in black, always.
No helmets. No helmets. No, I can't see you. I cannot see you, you absolute tool. But yeah, I totally get the whole thing of driving. I shout at cars down my street that are going too fast. I just shout at them, slow down! Yes. I have to be really careful because often I'm surrounded by children. There's a little bit of me that's like, you can't really start calling people driving past your house fuckwits in front of, you know, a handful of seven-year-olds. But I totally get it. It makes me so cross. I'm like, this is a residential area. What do you think's happening here? There's children. Yeah. I'm constantly like that with my kids, with my hands, arms in front of them, like some completely overly protective parent. Just because I know they've got no impulse. They've got no clue. They do. They still now, even though we do the look left, look right, look left again, they don't get it. They're not getting the look left, look right, look left again. They go, oh, it looks like there's nothing there. And they just go for it. And then some absolute asshole is pegging it down, flying over the speed bumps like an absolute C-U-N-T. Yeah. I can't cope. So I think that's a legitimate goat. And also, hand-to-hand combat is, do it. And I know, my money would be on you, Jess, anyway.
What you could do is envision the mean mum while you're battling people. And really, yeah, you'd win every fight. Not that we're endorsing violence, but maybe.
Oh, I totally am endorsing violence. I'm endorsing violence. I'm endorsing shouting at people in the street. If you are going to drive down a residential area that is clearly a 20-mile-an-hour zone at 40, you are going to get a blistering, shouting menopausal woman in your face. I'm not as strong as Jess. That's the only thing. So when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, I would lose very quickly. I don't know if you've seen my wrists. Very small wrists.
I've never noticed your small wrists.
I've got ridiculously weak wrists.
Put them up.
Tight little wrists. I have little dainty wrists. They're dainty wrists. And also, you need a big wrist if you're going to punch. As I've realised, on the only occasion I punched somebody, and my wrist went, no, that's not going to work for you. Not that we're condoning violence on WTB.
No.
Absolutely
not.
I
punched a mugger once.
Brilliant. Oh, Maureen, you've got a good, strong wrist. Show us your wrists.
He went flying. He wasn't expecting that. He asked for my money. I thought, you can fuck off. Punched him and he went flying downstairs.
Yeah, good for you. It's good if you're going to punch someone to make sure that they are at the top of an escalator first, because you will have momentum's on your side as well, which I think is good.
Yeah, the momentum's on my side. He was coming up the stairs and I was coming down.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I'm with you, Maureen.
I was like in a 1950s outfit. You know, I mean, I didn't look like I would punch somebody. Do you know what I mean?
I love it.
Well, Jess, that's a perfectly legitimate go.
Thanks.
People speeding in a residential area around children. And if you do that, do expect a very...
hand signal.
Well, oh, the hand signal, yeah. Do expect double hands.
Will you slow down?
Does that work, Jess, when you do that?
No, it makes them really defensive and angrier.
Right, OK. Has anyone ever gotten out of the car to shout at you?
Not yet.
Oh, OK. Yeah. It's like about the time, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, when someone threw a bottle of Coca-Cola out of their car window and I picked it up and put it back in their car and they chased me down the street in their car. So I'm going to say it's not always a positive thing. Jess, it's been so lovely to have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a flipping laugh.
Thank you.
Because also I know you're not feeling tippity top, and we so appreciate it.
Such great advice, so many laughs. A future podcast guest in Maureen, and eventually also Alison.
I would love that. I love talking food. Let's do it.
And anything you'd like to promote while you're here? Anything you'd like to tell the WTB listeners? Obviously, check out Hoovering. You can get that wherever you get your podcast. It's absolutely fantastic. There's 5 years worth of episodes for you to catch up on.
Yes,
and
it is
such a great companion. If you're doing the Hoovering, listen to Hoovering while you're doing the Hoovering. Or while you're cooking, that's another one. Anything else, Jess? Give it to us.
I've got a series on BBC Sounds called Sturdy Girl Club, which is like 4 15-minute comedy series about...
fantastic.
It's all about weightlifting, but you don't need to be interested in weightlifting. I've hopefully made it funny, not just Radio 4 funny.
Check that out. Okay, so Sturdy Girl, BBC Sounds. Can you listen to it anywhere else for people that aren't based in the UK? Is that possible?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think you might be all right with BBC Sounds. I know it's hard to get iPlayer outside of the UK, but I think audio, you might be all right.
Oh, right. Yeah, so wherever you are, download BBC Sounds and have a listen to that. Jess Foster-Q, you have been our 100th guest. You haven't been our 100th guest. You've been our fourth guest, but you have been our special guest in our 100th episode.
Aww. Oh, I've loved it.
Thank you very much to all of our listeners.
Thanks.
Please do continue to listen. We're hoping to do another 100. Lucky people, you. Women Talking Bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.